us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you for speaking to us already this morning in different ways. Lord, we receive your word lovingly into our hearts today and pray that it will just regenerate us unto eternal life again, Lord. And Lord, just find a place in our hearts that will just make your life spring up within us, Lord, so that we might be a fruitful field for you and bear fruit to the glory of your holy name in these days. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. We've actually already had quite a few things of lines of this psalm already this morning. Praise the name of the Lord God. That's the first one. God is our refuge and strength. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Wonderful, wonderful, isn't it? How God can speak to us before we even get to the Bible. The Bible, of course, is the most wonderful book on earth. And it's a miracle we still have it. We only have it because God has ordained that we should have it and has protected it through the ages since the prophets wrote it and the apostles wrote it. Glory to his wonderful name. So we have here a song. That's another word that came at the beginning as well. A song of hope. It'd be pretty poor show if we only sang when things were good, wouldn't it? But here's a song when times are bad, a song for times of trouble. And boy, are there times of trouble at the moment. But God, hallelujah, He knew before he created the world what times we live in today. And he is God over all, and his will be done, ultimately. That's the wonderful fact that the Bible teaches us from beginning to end, that the will of God is what counts. Hallelujah. And there's nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop the will of God being effected in the earth. And we can help that will of God to be more effectively effected in the day in which we live by prayer and intercession. But nothing, God is unstoppable. That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? God is absolutely unstoppable. And once he's in our lives, he's unstoppable in you and me as well. So let's get to Psalm 46. This is a psalm that was, I'm told, because I wasn't there, but was greatly used in the Second World War. So here it is. It's a song. And it's a song about God. And the first thing is, God is our refuge. Now this word here, refuge, is a very interesting one. It means a place that you run to for safety. A place to run into. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. The word later on actually means a fortress. So there are two different words in the Hebrew here. But this one is, God is our refuge. A place of safety for you and me in times of trouble and for all our brethren around the world. And if one thing that the current situation is teaching us is that we are one family in God. Okay, we're a local body, a local expression here on the Wirral. One among many on the Wirral, but we are one family in God worldwide. Hallelujah. And God is stirring his people up worldwide to pray in these days for the glory of the of his name, that his name will be exalted in the earth and not man's. Glory to his wonderful name. I was over in Liverpool last Tuesday at Refuge. Refuge is a work that's overseen by Shirley Rennick, and she's been helping asylum seekers for about the last 20 years who come to Liverpool because there's a government hostel there. And most of the ones that she's been involved with have been Iranians. And I went for a little Bible study, just a few Iranians over there. Hale Shoma Chetorast is what you say when if you meet an Iranian. How are you? Okay. And we had a lovely time looking at Psalm 46. And I didn't know it, but I said, God is our refuge. And Shirley told me afterwards, God gave her the name of the work she's doing from this psalm. Refuge, a place, you imagine, Iranians. Very much in the news this last week with Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe and the other brother. Sorry, I can't remember his name. God has provided places of refuge around the world for his people in this day and age in which we live. And thanks be to God that Liverpool is one of them. That God has provided a sanctuary in this country for thousands upon thousands of people. And hopefully there will be some actually in this building before too long, where they can come and know a safe place. Glory to his wonderful name. If you want to just check with me, it refers back to Numbers 35. Numbers 35 talks about the establishment of cities in the land of Canaan. This is God telling Moses beforehand, before they get to the land, that when they get there, he must establish cities of refuge. What were these cities? Verse 11 and 12. Then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer, okay, so somebody guilty of manslaughter, which is where the noun comes from, who kills any person accidentally, may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And then verse 24 and 25, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood. If it was an accidental death, if it was manslaughter, there was no intention to kill that person. And the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge after they've given judgment, where he had fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. Hallelujah, what a picture of our salvation. We have a place to run to, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is the only one who can deliver us from our sins. The avenger is after us, and it's the law of God which says the soul that sins, it shall die. But Jesus came and died in our place, glory to his wonderful name, and he is our great high priest who gave his own life for you and me, that we shall be delivered from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. Have you received that forgiveness of sins that Jesus offers yet? If not, you can receive that forgiveness. You can receive him today. And the days are getting short. The time is short. the days we live in, well, aren't they significant days? They're significant days. Things are happening that we never dreamt of, but they're happening. And there's war in Europe again. So here, the manslayer had to flee for refuge. He had to find the safe place. And you and I flee for refuge in Jesus. And that's exactly what the writer to the Hebrews says. This is Hebrews 6 and verse 18. We have fled for refuge. Let me just read it to you. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Hallelujah. There is a refuge. His name is Jesus. And if we are in Jesus today, then we have hope. The darkness doesn't overwhelm us. The fear doesn't drag us down. Why? Because we have a place of refuge. Glory to his wonderful name. And God, that place is God. Okay, first Psalm 46, verse 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge. Even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, this is a tsunami of trouble. If a mountain falls in the sea, you get a tsunami. It's happened the year 2001. 300,000 people perished in a day. These are the times we're living in. Here is a huge tsunami of troubles coming, and God says, though the mountains, through his psalmist, though the mountains move into the heart of the sea, we will not fear. We will not fear. We set our will not to fear. Why can we not fear? Firstly, because God is a very present help in trouble. He is, his help is, and my footnote tells me, abundantly available. His help is near, because he is near. Glory to his wonderful name. Do you remember that time when God gave Moses a job? It was a pretty awesome task. It was the most daunting and audacious task that anybody had ever received in the history of the world up to that point, which was to lead 2 million people out of Egypt and then through a wilderness and into the land that God had promised to give them. Did they get there? Did they get there? Yes, they did. Hallelujah, because God is faithful and God was with them. And at one point when Moses had the jelly legs, he was praying. This is Exodus 33, verse 13. 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you haven't let me know who you will send with me." I love his honesty with God. It's always good to be honest with God when you're in a pickle. "You have not let me know who you'll send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, that is God, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." That's all Moses needed to hear. My presence will go with you. In all your trouble, my presence will go with you. In all your challenges that you will face along the way, and Moses thankfully didn't know half of what he was going to face, but in all those challenges, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest in the midst of a gigantic task that I am giving you. Your heart will be at rest and at peace. Isn't that just like the Lord Jesus? Yeah, he said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he didn't say that to the crowds. He actually said it to his disciples. If you look a little bit further up that chapter, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Have you come to Jesus today? If your heart is troubled today, if you are driven to despair today, that Jesus says, "Come to me." Just come. Come in faith. Just as you came for salvation, come in faith to me and find heart rest in me today. Glory to his wonderful name. You know, and there are times when workers get weary, and Moses got weary at times in his prayer warfare. He got weary and he needed brethren to come alongside and just lift his hands and hold his hands in the air. And when his hands were held in the air, hallelujah, victory was assured for the children of Israel. So we need not fear. We will not fear because God's presence is with us. Secondly, we will not fear because there is a river we can drink from. 46 and verse 4. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn." What a wonderful promise that is. What a wonderful promise. God shall help her right at the break of dawn. And in the Old Testament, you can read some wonderful stories of when God's people trusted in him, he sent help at the break of day. Hallelujah. But the greatest break of day that there ever was or ever will be in the history of the world came in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you remember? Hallelujah. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices to anoint a dead body very early in the morning. The first day of the week they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen, and they said, "Who'll roll away the stone?" And when they got there, they saw a young man, and he said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He's risen." Hallelujah. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not give ourselves to anything that is not of him. Therefore, we will live unto him, day by day in this day which we live, drinking of the river of God that is full of water. Hallelujah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This river we can drink of in the midst of trouble and know the gladness of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. There are many precious ones in this room who've been going through many different troubles, but you're drinking of the river of God and your heart is made glad. Your secret heart is made glad in God because it's the joy of Jesus that you have in your heart. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was set before him, and that was you and me knowing him, loving him, coming to him, worshipping him. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. Oh, Jesus. There is a river. The river is the Holy Spirit. The river is the Holy Spirit. John 7, 37 to 39. Jesus stood and he cried and said, if anyone is thirsty, come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Absolute rivers of living water will flow out. That's the wonderful thing. When we drink of the river of God, the water finds a way to flow out. Isn't that true? Somehow, God puts us in places and with people where the river must flow out. Whether we have workers who are under our supervision, or whether we're in a college with fellow students, or whether we're rubbing with shoulders with ordinary people in the shops and on the street, the rivers flow out. We can either be a Galilee or we can be a Dead Sea. We have the choice. Let's be a Galilee, eh? Because Galilee is full of fish. And God loves to see fish caught. Are we drinking from him day by day? There is a river. 1 Peter 3:22 says this, he has gone into heaven. Angels and authorities, principalities and powers are made subject to him. And then Revelation 22:1 says, I saw a river flowing out from under the throne of God and of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And that's the river we drink from today. Hallelujah. There's no mediator. There's only Jesus. If we know Jesus, we receive his life direct from him, from the throne. Hallelujah. Pouring out in absolute torrents and torrents and torrents of water. I saw a program about Victoria Falls yesterday, and there are something like 5 billion gallons falling over Victoria Falls every minute. 5 billion gallons! But that's nothing to the river of God that's full of water. God is sustaining millions and millions and millions of people just like you and me all over the world right now by the power of his life. Hallelujah! And that life is Jesus, because Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, the thing is, this is a root-forming thing. Drinking of the river is a root-forming thing. If you go to Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. We find this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he should be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. This is our part, that when we're in the thick of things, that we keep our trust in the Lord. That we don't blame God that things have gone wrong. Where are you, Lord? God is with us in the thick of things. And he wants our leaf to be green in the year of drought. Me and my family used to live in a place called Isan, which is northeast Thailand. And in the hot season, the temperatures would get over 40 degrees in the shade. And the earth, because there's no rivers up there, the earth would go very cracked and dry. And it would be a really thirsty time. Excuse me. The memory comes back. But you'd be driving along a dusty road, and then in the middle of a field, which was cracked and parched, sunbaked, not a blade of grass anywhere, there'd be a tree. And its leaves would be absolutely brilliant green, spring green, in the place of drought. This is amazing. And also you've got the best flowers in the dry season. When nothing else is flowering, you get this beautiful Fung Fa, which is bougainvillea, flowering all over the place, purples and whites and reds and all sorts of colours. And God, that was God doing something for the people who lived in a place that was very dry and very sterile at that time of year, just to show them that if your roots go down deep underground to the water that's underground, your leaf will be green. And that's what you and I do when we drink of the river of God, when we're in difficulties. Hallelujah. And there's a wonderful book by Isabel Kuhn. All her books are wonderful. Called A Green Leaf in Drought. Many of you probably read that. About a couple who, missionaries who landed in China just as Mao Zedong took over. What a time to arrive. But God sustained them by some miraculous provision through those days. The river of God makes glad the people of God. And out of the people of God flow rivers of living water. That is, if we obey the commands of the Lord. You know, and his commands, as John says, are not, they're not difficult. His commands, 1 John 3, 21-23 say, believe in the Lord. That is, believe against all odds. Commit yourself to him in spite of the fact that nothing seems to be going right. And love your brethren. Love one another. Let nothing come between you and a brother or sister in Christ. And if something does, get it sorted as fast as you can. Because as we walk in the light together, we fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Glory to his wonderful name. So back to Psalm 46. We drive our roots down deep into God at these times. And we read this. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. I just want to read you something by Billy Graham. This was at the time of the fall of the Berlin Wall, which might sound ancient history now, but it actually wasn't that long ago. So he was invited to Berlin, and they set up a preaching place in front of the Reichstag, next to the Brandenburg Gate. On this historic site where Nazis once paraded by torchlight, marshalling ethnic bitterness and hatred, we came to bring the good news of the gospel. On the very spot where the evil ambitions of the Third Reich were born, we came to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Nazis had promised the German people a 1,000-year regime of military might and power and awful judgment. I spoke to them of the good news of forgiveness and the love of God. Hitler proclaimed the 1,000-year Reich in 1938, and by 1945 he was dead. The nations rage. Why do the nations rage? Well, because they don't want God to rule over them. But God says in Psalm 2, I have set my king on Zion, my anointed one, and he is the one who reigns. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. In that psalm, the Lord said, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, the nations, the ethnes, from which we get ethnicities, ethnic groups. Ask of me, God the Father talking to God the Son. Ask of me and I will give you. And Paul picks it up in Acts 13 when he's preaching the gospel, and he said, on that day, this God says to Jesus, you are my Son, I have begotten you. That's Psalm 2 verse 6. That was the day of resurrection. Now ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. Glory to God. God is in control. We had that wonderful chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 63. In that chapter it says, the angel, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Glory to his wonderful name. I'm just going to go down now for the sake of time. 8:8 to the end. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. Man starts wars, but God ends them. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two and burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Be still, my soul, for God is near. Be still and wait on him. Be still. Let the nations, let the people draw near, and then let them speak, says Isaiah. Be still before God. Seek God's face. If your heart is in turmoil, be still. Bring yourself before God and let him still your heart. He's done it for me in the past many times. When I've been anxious and worried about things, God has come and he has stilled my heart, because he's God. And as we come to him, his stillness, his perfect peace enters into our very soul. And we find that our soul can be at peace. Be at peace too. Be still means let go. Stop striving. Be at peace. Let God be God in you. Now, Paul, in those wonderful verses in Philippians, about not being anxious, he said, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wonderful verses, aren't they? Great memory verses. But he wrote it in a dungeon, in chains, under the threat of execution any day. Imagine what that could do to you. It could either make you very bitter, very twisted. It could make you doubt anything you've ever believed about God. Lord, I've preached your name for 30 years across Asia, and look where I am now. But he didn't. He said, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Hallelujah. And the God of peace shall be with you, and the God of peace will be exalted in your life, and the God of peace will demonstrate his peace through you to those among whom you live and move and have your being day by day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is the way, this is what God wants to do with your life and mine, beloved. Be still and know, so that your peace can, so that his peace can flow out of you. And God can be God in you, and God can flow out of you and me and touch lives among the people where we live. Praise his wonderful name. Yeah, come to the end. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We will not fear, because God's presence is with us. We will not fear, because we can drink of the river of God. And we will not fear because of the promises of God that we can lay hold of for ourselves. For instance, if you feel an emptiness, if you feel a lack in your life, you can lay hold on Jesus' promise there in John 7. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and I will put a fountain of life within you of the Holy Spirit that will satisfy you to all eternity, he says. If you are tempted to doubt, come, hallelujah, lay hold on the promises of God, which Peter says are exceeding great and precious promises, because you have the same faith in you that was in Peter. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Good, good. I'm glad somebody does. Because that's what the Bible says. Isn't that wonderful? We have the same faith. You might think your faith is very small. And at times our faith can be very weak, can't it? But Peter says your faith is the same faith that dwelt in him. And he saw God do wonderful things, as we can read in the book of Acts, can't we? So we will not fear, because we can trust the promises of God, which are all yes and amen in Jesus. They're all yes in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a wonderful Savior, beloved. And He is with us, and He is with our brethren in the Ukraine. He's with them night and day. He is with them in the place where they're at right now. And He is with you and me in the place where we're at right now. Praise His wonderful name. Amen.